Welcome, Rob and Darren from the New England area, and Rob from Botswana, South Africa. And children, he's going to just share a little presentation here, but he works with a lot of children and young people. I think they have something called Power Sports or whatever, and orphanages, and I think they're starting to get a farm going, and a lot of great work in Botswana, Africa, and he's one of he's really like an apostle, a sent one, a missionary, just advancing the kingdom of God. And so, just want to welcome you here, just share our heart, and he's got a special presentation for us here at the beginning.
Greet you in the name of Jesus this morning, and it's good to be back. We want to thank you for standing with us in prayer and financially as a church. We want to thank the leaders for allowing us to come here this morning. Thanks for the company. Darren is a pastor up in Massachusetts, and we just decided to spend some time together on the way down, so I'm glad you're here as well. So this is what is going on in Botswana right now. Since 2007, we have been in Silibi Pikwe, Botswana, and I just want to show you kind of what the Lord is doing. By the way, I'll just tell you a quick story before we get into the Word. We had this gentleman come over from Michigan with the container. And inside the container, it had about 6,000 pounds of farming equipment, different plows and so forth. And what happened, he was so excited about the fulfillment of his goal and vision, which was to organize farming equipment, get it to Africa, that when we loaded it from the loading dock onto a truck, it was kind of like this. And he got into the back of the truck to supervise the loading. Probably wasn't a very good idea. We told him it wasn't a good idea, but he was really excited. And what happened is this 6,000-pound wagon, the yellow wagon, got loose and came off of the loading dock, ran down the truck, and actually hit him sideways, turned him this way, and the full weight of it hit him full force, and it was wedged on top of him. And people were screaming, and there was a lot of, it was horrible. We could just hear him moaning behind the container. We couldn't see him. We just heard this horrible moaning. And so four men on my side and four big men on the other side, we pushed with all we could. We could only move it about this much because it was uphill. Someone came and, we were screaming for someone to get a rock to put it underneath the wheels because it was rolling back again on him. And so he couldn't breathe, he couldn't talk, and, instinct takes over at that point, and you call on the name of the Lord, and that's what we did. We laid our hands on him in the name of Jesus and began to pray, and about 2 minutes later, he stopped moaning. 2 minutes later, he sat down on the edge of the truck, and 2 minutes later, he began to say, "Move that over here and move that over there." Praise the Lord, God had done a miracle. The crowd was expecting him to just fall over dead, but that didn't happen. So it was even actually a very big encouragement to some of our church people who were there. We've talked about the power of God and the protection of God, but they saw it firsthand. And afterwards, that was on Monday. On Wednesday, he was speaking to our men's group about having a vision for your life. And only then did I find out that when he was a teenager, God gave him a vision of doing something in Africa with farming. And it had taken like 64 years to come to pass. And he was encouraging them, when God has a vision for your life, just keep trusting him, he'll bring it to pass. It was very much encouraging. I want to thank you for your prayers. God continues to do fantastic things in our lives. Also want to make you aware of the vice president of Botswana has a desire himself to start preschools around the country. This is 3 to 5-year-olds. Currently, they don't have this situation in Botswana. So in talking to him, he was saying, this is what I want to do and so forth. And so I said, well, would you like me to talk to some Christians in the States and see if we can get people who can design the curriculum? And he said, yes, I'd love you to do that. In fact, if you can get them to come over and actually train some of the workers who will be doing this, that would be even better. And I want the curriculum to be God-fearing because we can mold and shape these children's personalities when they're, at that young age. So it's really a God opportunity. So if that's your expertise, please, if you want to see me afterwards and give me some input, for about schooling and those kinds of things, we'd be very, very much interested. We have a few leads already in the States, but we're trying to assemble together, because, you know, we believe that God is going to take what we're doing, a lot of things that we're doing national. We're probably going to start doing national marriage seminars and parenting seminars through our contacts with some of the government now. And we're just believing God's going to open doors for us. The reality of what we're doing, you'd be shocked if you looked at our budget. We don't have a lot of money coming in, but we do have grace. Hallelujah. And you can do more with grace than you can do with money. But if you want to get information on us and partner with us, there's some information in the foyer. Okay. Thank you. I'll bring you greetings from my wife as well. Mary is in the States. She's not with me right now. I hope to see her next week. And also the church in Africa, in Botswana, also sends their greetings. Amen. Let's pray and we'll get into the word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning and look into your word. We pray that you'd give us grace to hear and grace to communicate. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Chapter 25. I've been sharing a message pretty consistently as I've been traveling in the States. And the reason I've been sharing it is in October, I had a dream one night. And in the dream, there was a lot of people in the auditorium. Very big, filled with lots and lots of people. And I was one of the people sitting in the auditorium, and there was someone in the front, a preacher in the front. And as they were speaking, the question came from the crowd, what is the message that is needed for the church? And in the dream, I became very interested to hear what would be the response. And the message came forth from the front, which was the priesthood of every believer. And for me, when I woke up from the dream, I said to myself, you know, at Church of the Harvest in Botswana, we teach the priesthood of every believer. We feel like we do that. So there must be something more that I'm not seeing that, you know, God really wants me to see about this whole issue of priesthood and so forth. So I began to look at this. And I want to share a couple nuggets and then move from there. In Exodus chapter 25, if you look at verse 31, it says, then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold, the lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work, its cups, its bulbs, its flowers shall be one piece with it. As I begin to look at the priesthood in the Old Testament, what I realized about the house of God was that the house of God, one of the priest's responsibilities was to make sure that the light always kept burning. And the house of God was set up in such a way that it did not allow the light that was outside to come inside. In other words, the light that they had inside the house of God was different than the light which was outside in the world. And it's important that we as priests recognize that we are to function with a different light than the world has. Amen. That we have access to a light that the world does not have, and we need to make sure that that light always keeps burning. And as I begin to think about this issue with light and lamps and so forth, I remember the words of Jesus when he made a revolutionary statement. I believe it was a revolutionary statement to the Jews, because in the Jewish faith, everything was centered on walking or going to Jerusalem. Everything was centered from moving outward towards Jerusalem to the house of God. And Jesus really came to reverse that. You know, when he resurrected, he said, you know, and from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, the church, its people, are not simply to move towards the house of God. They are to move from the house of God. And many times churches find this, you know, they think that the goal is actually simply to get to the house of God. And even people struggle simply to get to the house of God. But the goal is not to get to the house of God, it's to get to the house of God that we might go from the house of God to the world. Hallelujah. So Jesus made this revolutionary statement. It was that he was the light, not simply of Jerusalem or Israel. He was the light of the world. And then he went on to say to his followers that they were not simply the light to the Jewish people, that they were to be the light of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we have a lot of people that believe, you know, if they're working with non-Christians, they're somehow disadvantaged, when really God put you there so that you could be a light to the world. And I understand that we have to keep, you know, our children from some things as they grow up, you know, keep them from exposure so they might survive. But at some point we have to recognize the world is our target. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we are not losing. We are on a winning team. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Botswana is a country, some of you from Africa, you know what Africa is like. Dominated by, you know, belief systems which are certainly foreign to us, but based in curses and so forth. We thank God that God can do amazing things and give us favor and change people groups. Hallelujah. So, as I begin to look at this subject, 2015 was a year for my wife and I, or in the early part of the year. If I was to sum up 2015, it was a year in which Mary and I got hammered. And I realized this about the, if you were paying attention when we read this verse about the light of God, the lamp of God, it was not just pure gold, it was of hammered gold. And sometimes for you and I, when we're praying that we would be a light, we have to realize God's way of making a light is different than our way of making it. If we were to choose how God would make us a light, you know, we'd have him do it with soft and gentle hands, making it of pure gold, which everyone can see. But that's not God's way of making us lights. God's way is to let the hammer fall sometimes. And many times, if we don't realize God's process, we'll get discouraged along the way. And we'll sometimes yield to ways which will actually interrupt us from being lights. So, as I was studying this, I came across a story. It was of an older gentleman taking his grandson to see how they made a reenactment, how they made these kinds of things out of gold. So he took his grandson to see it, and they were watching this. And there was actually two men with hammers. There was one who had a very small hammer, almost looked like a pencil with just a little, you know, hammer on the end, and one who had a large hammer. So as they were watching, this man with the small hammer would tap here, and then this man with the big hammer would come and hit and hit and hit, and then the man with the small hammer would tap another place, and there would be this hitting. And then after a few moments, the young child began to laugh. And the grandfather said to him, "You know, son, what are you laughing about?" He said, "That silly man with the small hammer. I mean, he's not doing any good. Why is he using a small hammer? He should have a big hammer in his hand." And he said, "Son, that man with the small hammer isn't actually hammering hard. He's simply showing where the other hammer must fall." And that's what we have to understand about our being shaped into the light of God. Sometimes God knows where the hammer needs to fall. It's not him that's hammering us really hard. But sometimes he allows the hammer to fall, and when it's fallen enough in that place, he can move it to another place. And he knows exactly when we've been made. Hallelujah. In 2015, you know, there's areas in our life of self and self-reliance and, you know, the works of men that sometimes need to be hammered out of our lives. Sometimes unforgiveness and character qualities that need the hand of God. Hallelujah. But what can happen to people in the process is many times people will derail the process or cause the process not to have the fruit that God wants it to have. And I'd like to share with you a common temptation. If you turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. James chapter 3 talks about the tongue. This is what it says in verse 3. It says, "Now if we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we will direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, that they are so great and are driven by strong winds that they are directed still by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires." James goes on to say that no human being has tamed the human tongue. I haven't tamed mine. You haven't tamed yours. That's what he says. But what he says is, with a horse, it's not the horse that controls where he goes. It's whoever controls the horse's mouth. And so what happens sometimes in our lives is that the devil is trying to use circumstances in our lives to get control of our mouths. Because if he gets control of our mouths, he will direct where we end up. It also says that the ship, its direction is not determined by the strong winds. In other words, the circumstances of the storm do not determine where the ship ends up. What determines where the ship ends up is a very small rudder. And so we have to understand that the devil and God are vying for the most important muscle in your body, which is your mouth, your tongue. Because your tongue is going to determine where you end up in this life. You cannot go somewhere where your tongue does not take you. We have scriptures like life and death are in the power of the tongue. We even heard someone this morning say, we are made in the image and likeness of God. Well, God, being made in His image, God created His world that He wanted with His mouth. And the world which we make is also determined by our mouths. Hallelujah. In Botswana, through all the financial storms, through some physical challenges and so forth, the devil is trying to use circumstances to get control of our mouths. But hallelujah, we don't have to give him control. You know, it says the tongue is set on fire by hell, but thank God the baptism of the Spirit also set the tongue on fire. Hallelujah. And so we have God and the devil vying for our mouths, because our mouth will control where we end up in life. Hallelujah. Now, if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, there's a few scriptures I'd like to look at. Before we look at them, let me just, for those that may be resistant to what I'm saying, potentially. How did you get born again? With your mouth, right? You believed in your heart. Did that get you saved? No. Something had to come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. So even your salvation is determined by your mouth. Says the word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. The word of faith which we preach. That word has to be not just in our heart. It has to be in our mouths. It has to get in our hearts to such a degree that it's automatically coming out of our mouths. Hebrews chapter 3. He says, "Therefore, holy brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession," or our profession. It says we should be considering Jesus right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father in his present day ministry. It's not simply of intercession. He is the apostle, the sent one, and he is the high priest of what's coming out of our mouth. In other words, what's coming out of our mouth is giving him something to work with. He is working with what comes out of our mouth. Hallelujah. He is the high priest of what comes out of our mouth. He is the apostle of what comes out of our mouths. It says, consider this about Jesus. Now, the word confession or the word profession means to say the same as. And what God is asking us is to say the same thing about ourselves that He says about us, even when circumstances are pointing us in a different direction. He's saying, Jesus is the sent one of us saying the same thing as He's saying about us. Hallelujah. God wants us to understand that faith is not something just of the heart. Faith is also something of the mouth. And the word confession, if you look up the base root word, it means to covenant. In other words, what we're actually doing with our mouth is we are covenanting with God. And we can never experience God's covenant for our lives if our mouth is in opposition to His covenant promises. In other words, God is running into this undissolvable agreement with what comes out of our mouth. He will give us what we covenant with our mouth. Even the children of Israel, He wanted to give them the promised land. They had a covenant to give them the promised land. Did they get the promised land? Only those who with their mouths said, this is ours. But the others who said, this is not for us, their mouths. He said, I will give you what you have said. And we have to understand this about God. That God, as much as He wants to do good in our lives, sometimes we are canceling our prayers with our mouths after we've prayed. Many times we are talking in opposition to the very things that we said we believed when we prayed for them. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
How many marriages have been ruined with the mouth? Mine was on the verge of divorce. I'll tell you, it was bad. Relationships with children, relationships with parents, relationships at work, relationships even with the devil. God is working with our mouths. Let's give Him something to work with. You know, so many churches, so many Christians have become so negative with their mouths based on the circumstances that face our country. We're not supposed to walk by sight. We're to walk by faith. Hallelujah. I know that, you know, in 2015 when I was getting hammered early on in the year, I began to share information with the church rather than revelation. In other words, I saw the bad things that were going on in society and I felt it was my duty to give them information. But I realized that simply by giving information, I wasn't helping their faith grow. What they needed was not information, they needed revelation. Hallelujah. They needed the light which is in the house of God. And that light can change the world. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be aware. I'm saying sometimes we have to mention it, but what we need to fully observe is God's ability to do the impossible.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 4. If you would have told me years ago, you know, I'd be surprised at what the Lord's doing to have the, you know, the government saying, you know, if you have trouble getting your peer educators to the schools, we'll see if we can pick them up. Hallelujah. That wouldn't, you know, in the natural, that would have never happened. But God, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at the verse. Sorry. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, notice it mentions his priesthood again. who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. He says, we got this great high priest in the heavens, therefore let's hold fast to saying the same as he's saying about us. There are going to be things that are going to try to get us to say things about our lives and about ourselves. And he's saying, no, you're going to have to hold on to keep saying what he's saying. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hallelujah. Why do we hold on to saying the same things? Because why? He is faithful. Amen. And if God can get the right cooperation from us, he can do that which he wants to do in our lives. So he tells us, hold on to this expectation that you have. That's what the word hope means. Hold on to the right expectation based on what I said. Keep holding on to it. Don't let circumstances change what's coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's hold fast. Giving the apostle and high priest of our mouths something to work with. Hallelujah. You know, the more I talked about how the church in Botswana and my church, you know, how we're, you know, being assaulted by the beliefs that were around us, the worse it got. God is asking us not to let circumstance change what we believe about him, because he is faithful. He will do that which he has promised to do. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Now, let me say this before I go further. We're going to look at verse 8, very familiar verse to us. Scripture says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then it tells us what these strongholds are. It says there are arguments, reasonings, and thoughts. Knowledge. They're not demons. They're arguments, they're reasonings, and thoughts. And so a stronghold was something that kept people imprisoned, or it was a fortress to keep others out. Now what the Apostle Paul was saying is, what we're trying to do is to remove the barrier between men and God so that God can get to their lives. In other words, we have to realize that sometimes we have a fortress around ourselves, a belief fortress, which is keeping God from answering us. So when the word of God is preached, many times what happens is God runs into barriers. In other words, he comes to save us, but he can't get through the fortress. Because of belief systems. Are you with me this morning? So what happens is when the word of God, the simple word of God is preached, we have thoughts. We have reasonings. We have arguments. And many times those stop us from receiving the word so that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. Let me give an example. Years ago in Botswana, we have the church in one of the poorest areas of the country. And after I got done laying a foundation of Jesus in the church, you know, I thought ahead. I asked the Lord, you know, what now? And the Lord said, I want you to begin to teach people on giving. And you know what? When he said that to me, I had arguments. I had reasonings. I had thoughts. And I told the Lord, I don't think that's a good idea. But after a while, he won, and I started sharing that these poor people, the way for them to increase their finances was to become givers. Now, do you think they received that with joy, unspeakable and full of glory? No. There was arguments, there was reasonings, there was thoughts. In other words, God was trying to set them free from poverty. But there was a stronghold which would not allow them to receive God's remedy for success. So as I share a few principles this morning, I want you just to be aware of your arguments, your reasonings, and your thoughts. Not to say that you shouldn't have reasonings and thoughts, but make sure you bring them back to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Okay, because what I'm going to share now, it probably will put up some flags with some people. Okay? And I'm not trying to leave a mess. Okay? This is the pastor. Hallelujah. Okay? All right? So if I leave a mess, blame me. Okay, write your mail to me. All right, I won't leave a mess. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." So this gift of God, which God wants to give, His grace, His favor, His goodness, His kindness, it doesn't just fall on us. It has to come through faith. Or we could say it falls on us through faith. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, we can't, like the brother said this morning, we can't build up to it. Naturally, we can't build up, you know, a work. But what faith does is faith builds a way for God to get to you what God wants to get to you. See, faith is not trying to get God to do what He doesn't want to do. Faith is the way to access that which God is ready and willing and desirous. That which a loving God, a good God, a kind God, an all-powerful God is waiting to do in our lives. But that favor only comes to us through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because God has this desire to do for us. And without faith, He's not able to do that which He wants to do, what He longs to do, what He is ready to do. Hallelujah. And the devil knows that there is some mechanisms to receiving from God. And the biggest mechanism is faith. So by grace, we're saved. But he goes on to say, but it's through faith. Hallelujah. It's not just grace alone. It's through faith. Hallelujah. And some of us may have come from different places where we've heard the message of faith and we've been disappointed. Sometimes we have questions that are still unanswered. But we need to be careful that we don't throw out the mechanism that God uses simply because we have had a bad experience. Or because we have a question that it hasn't been answered yet. Hallelujah. But the favor of God comes to us through something. Hallelujah. And that thing is through faith, through believing. The word faith actually means persuasion. It's an assurance. It's not a hope. It's not a desire. It's a persuasion. I'm sure about this. Hallelujah. It's a confidence. See, God's grace doesn't come through hoping for it. It doesn't come through prayer. It doesn't come through wishing. You know, many people have prayed and got no grace coming in their lives. Because it's not the prayer of faith. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick, right? Yes. James chapter 1, they must ask in faith. Let the one who doesn't ask in faith know that he will receive nothing from God. Not because God doesn't want to give. Hallelujah. But faith makes a way for God to bring into our lives that which he wants to do. Hallelujah. All right, so let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 10. I was very much encouraged this morning by the choices and songs. Did you notice how many had to do with the power of God? A lot of power, a lot of healing. A lot of this aspect of the supernatural, which you and I are called to walk in. Says, we should go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? And these signs will follow those who believe. Not the preacher. These signs will follow those who believe the gospel.
Amen.
So in other words, it's not about me doing the signs or us doing the signs, the leaders. It's about the gospel has to be something that what it does is it causes the people that hear it to do the signs. These signs will follow those who believe. Believe what? Believe the gospel that they've just heard. And so it says, you know, they'll speak with new tongues, and many of us do that. They'll cast out devils. Not too many do that. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Not so many do that. You know, we'll drink deadly poison. Probably most of us don't get an opportunity to do that. Don't recommend it. Don't go looking for it. You come to the mission field, you might get your chance. And they'll pick up serpents, you know, and remove them. Actually, the Greek language has this idea of picking up the power of darkness and removing it. We can do that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God's mandate for us is to preach something that turns us all into supernatural people. And I begin to look at my own life and look at the work that I was doing and ask myself some questions. Am I on track to doing this? And I begin to say, you know, maybe there's some missing ingredients, some formulas. You know, a formula, you know, some people, you know, hate the idea of a formula because it's relational. But it does tell us that certain things work certain ways. In other words, we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth and we're saved. That's the way it works. And we're all comfortable with that. Okay, so we're in Romans chapter 10. Let's go to verse 13. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be or shall be saved. Now, the word saved is a pretty big word. It's a word which means healed. It's a word which means deliverance. It's a word which means wholeness. It's a word which we know has the idea of connotation of eternal life or safety. Here the writer is not afraid to say, whoever does this, it will happen for them. Not it might happen, it will happen. He will come and save us. Hallelujah. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a covenant that the children of Israel made with a group called the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites, they lied their way into the covenant. They were, you know, the next group that knew they were going to be invaded by Israel. So they sent emissaries to trick them, lied about where they were from, wear old clothes, brought old food, tricked them and said, we're from a faraway place. They cut covenant with the children of Israel. Once they cut covenant with the children of Israel, I think they went home and celebrated. A few days later, the Israelites came over a hill. They're about to go and invade, take over. And as they're charging down the hill, probably, they see that we cannot attack these people. They're our covenant partners. They go home and they have some arguments about why they did this and how they got themselves into a covenant with them. The other tribes of the Canaanites find out what the Gibeonites have done. They rise up a huge army to fight against the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonite says, you know what? We have a covenant partner. And they send a message to Joshua and the Israelites and they say, come and save us. And the Israelites, because they are covenant partners, have no choice except to respond. They must come and save them. They cannot delay. They cannot wait. They must come and answer the request of their covenant partner. You with me this morning? How much does God honor it? When they get there, God makes the sun stand still for a whole day so that the Israelites can fight on behalf of their covenant partner and bring them salvation. See, prayer for you and I is not something that we simply do here. It's based on a covenant with God. God does not have a choice except to respond to his covenant partners when we walk in the conditions of the covenant. And there are conditions. The conditions of our covenant are faith and love. Hallelujah. Then, if we walk in faith and love, he is bound himself to respond. Okay, let me make reference to another scripture. It says, if there's anyone sick among us, what do? We call for the elders of the church, right? That they might pray the prayer of faith. It's not a phone call. They didn't have phones. It's the call of faith. It's the same kind of call. In other words, it's a belief that when they come, we will be sorted out. Hallelujah. Then it says, we may have to confess our sins in order to be healed. Okay, because sometimes there's a blockage. And so that sometimes that has to be removed. But the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Hallelujah. See, I found in Africa that it's not my responsibility to go and chase down every sick person and try to pray for them. Because that's not the methodology that's used. Even Jesus didn't do that. Jesus in John chapter 5 walks into a place where it's just filled with five porches of sick people and he goes and touches one and leaves. And he is God. He is love. But he understood how it worked. In other words, through the work of the Spirit, God may lead you to initiate. But most times he doesn't. Most times he waits for a response. Hallelujah. I was telling the church last week, you know, I had a lady in Botswana. She got bit by a snake. And so her daughter said, my mom is calling for you, Pastor, to come and pray for her. And I got there and I said, you know, what's wrong? She was trembling. She couldn't eat. She couldn't stand up. She was just trembling under this sickness from the snake bite. She said, I got bit by a snake. I said, where did it bite you? You know, she showed me it bit her on the foot. And then she pulled up her shirt, because in Africa they're not shy very much. And she showed me how the blood poisoning, I could see the line going all the way from her foot up to here. And I said to her, are you sure you don't want to go to the hospital? She said, I know when you pray for me, I'll be healed. So you know what I had to do? I had to gather myself to believe. I had to take inventory of myself and say, okay, Rob, now you got someone who's meeting the conditions. Now you need to align yourself to believe God. And so I took a few moments to kind of reiterate to myself the truth of God's word so I could strengthen my own faith. And then I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. And the trembling stopped. She got up and said, I feel better, Pastor. Hallelujah. And she is fine. Some months later, she developed a cancerous growth. They told her it was cancer on her thigh. It was about the size of a softball. She came and said the same thing. Pray for me, and I'll be healed. I prayed for her. That week, it shrunk down to about the size of a small ball, about this big, turned black. She came back and said, you know, this is a situation. I said, it's fine. Put my hands on it, and it just disappeared completely.
Wow.
It's not because Rob, a missionary in Africa, is some special person. It's because she had heard something. She believed. And so what God wanted to do had been unleashed in her life. It says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power. When you want to bring the power of God to someone, you simply have to tell them what Jesus has done. That brings the power. And if they believe it, that power will go towards them. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. That you may know the power of God is towards those who believe. Do you want to be a magnet for the power of God? Believe God. It will go towards you. Hallelujah. You know, in Botswana, I like to play golf on my day off. The golf course isn't very nice. Baboons run over it, and there's a lot of cow manure on it, and we don't have any grass. It's just dirt. But, you know, it's still a nice time, and very inexpensive. It's about $2. And, you know, and you go on the golf course, and if it's a thunderstorm, people are afraid to be on the golf course in a thunderstorm, right? And rightly so. Because they believe that that metal piece of clubbing will attract power in the wrong way. Even though it's probably one in a thousand or one, you know, we respect it, knowing that there is something that I can have that can attract the power. Faith is the thing, not one in a million, not one in a thousand. What we're told is the power is towards those who believe. And when I believe and when you believe in the midst of contradictory circumstances, the power of God is coming towards us. He will come and save us. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about being irresponsible. I'm talking about believing. Hallelujah. We had a young girl. She fell out of church. She got pregnant. And she fell away from the Lord for a while. And around midnight one night, some knocking came at the gate of our house. And in Botswana, there's a lot of, you know, there's some crime. And we have high walls. And we've got, you know, locks and gates and all those kinds of things. And so when someone comes to your gate at night, midnight, you don't really want to go outside. Because sometimes the thieves lure you outside, and then they hit you in the head with a brick, and then they find their way into your house and take your things. So I said to my wife, hopefully whoever's at the gate will go away. But they didn't go away. And so I grabbed a baseball bat, went out to greet them. That's missions. And so I went out to the gate, you know, and Mary said, you know, I'll keep an eye on you. And she's looking through the window. You know, I said, thanks, honey. Oh. And I get outside, and there's these big guys at the gate. I mean, they're big men. You know, I'm not too excited. And I stand back from the gate to the west, and I say, you know, what is it? Can I help you with something? And they said, yes, our sister is sick. And they had a car outside. And so I said, okay, what's the problem? And so I said, you know, we wanted to take her to the hospital, but she said, no, I want to go see the pastor before I go to the hospital. And so, you know, I get outside, and I go around the car, and her mother's there, and her grandfather's there, and she's about 8 months pregnant, and I peek my head underneath, you know, to see, you know, what's wrong. She's crying, and she says, you know, something is choking me. And so I reached my hand in there, and I said, where is it? She put it, and it was like the size of a softball on her throat. And I, you know, put my hand there, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I just command you to shrink up and disappear. I couldn't really feel it shrink under my hands, but I felt the power of God. I took my hands off, and I said, how are you now? She called for her mom peeked her head in, and she said, Mom, it's gone. They started crying and hugging each other. And I saw a smile flash across the grandfather's face. And I went inside and laid down on bed and cried. And I said, I got the greatest job in the world. That's not my job only. That's our job. All things are possible to those who believe. Hallelujah. And it wasn't simply, I wasn't extending out to her. She was saying, I don't want to go to the hospital. I believe that if I go to the pastor's house and he prays, something supernatural will happen. Hallelujah. You know, grace comes through faith. It also is the way in which God's power comes through us to others. It's a transmitter. It's the way in which we release the power of God. Let me end with this. We want to go deeper. Hallelujah. I want to go deeper in 2016.
Amen.
Want 2016 to be a greater year than 2015. That's what I'm saying with my mouth. 2016 is my year. Hallelujah. 2016 is the year for the power of God.
Amen.
My wife lost her husband to cancer. When I met my wife, she was married. She lost her wife, her husband to cancer the first year that I knew her. And then about a year later, I married her. And she said to the Lord, "I will never trust you for healing again." But thank God that stronghold fell. And my wife has seen people healed by the power of God through her. I know sometimes we have had disappointments in the past, sometimes things we don't understand. Don't let that stop you from being an instrument of God. There are things that I don't understand sometimes. I don't have all the answers, but I do know someone that does. Now, this is back to Romans chapter 10. We'll wrap things up. Verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they call on him in whom they've not believed? What's the answer? How will they call on him in whom they've not believed? They can't. So it tells us that this is not simply a desperation call. This is the call of faith. It's the call that comes from believing. Verse keeps going. Says, and how will they believe in whom they have not heard? What's the answer? They can't. And how will they hear without people like you and us preachers? They can't. So we've got a God who wants to do good, a God of all grace, a God of all love. And he's wanting that to get to people. But how can they call on him who they don't believe? They can't. So how can they believe without hearing? They can't. So what do they need? They need us. They need us to preach to them the truth. You know, you can't build faith when you take one step forward and two steps back apologizing. You have to simply declare what God says. You can't always have disclaimers in it. You understand what I'm saying? You have to simply preach what the Word of God says. You can't preach experience, negative experience, positive experience, unless it's to encourage. But faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
And how can they preach unless they're sent? They can't. How do you get God's goodness to Botswana? Someone has to be sent there. How do you get God's goodness to the Muslim country? Someone has to be sent there. How do you get God's grace to Montgomery Village or wherever we are, Gaithersburg? And hallelujah. We got a God that wants to do things. This is the thing that I found out along the way. When I pray, I'm not trying to get God to do something that he doesn't want to do. I am releasing that which he desires to do because he is love. I don't have more compassion than God. I used to pray like as I looked at a sick person that I'm the one with the compassion. If I could just get God to care about them. That's not faith. Faith recognizes that Jesus died so this could be remedied, so that we could be saved. And it's a done deal.
Amen.
We can preach it as a finished work. God's just waiting to do you good. He's just waiting to open your eyes that can't see and your ears that are clogged deaf. And he's just waiting to heal your diabetes. He's just waiting and able. Hallelujah. And it is the gospel. It's not a gospel for Africa. It is a gospel that goes anywhere.
Amen.
Let me just end with one verse. And I really will close. It's Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 2. He says, this is the only thing that I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How how do people get the Holy Spirit? By the hearing of faith, right? Verse 5. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How does miracles happen more in lives? Faith. It has to be the hearing of faith. How does people get the Holy Spirit? It's through believing. Hallelujah. You know, the first time I got prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't get it. The second time, I didn't get it. Some of my other families got it so easily. And, you know, I was struggling to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I kept on thinking, I'm not good enough. Maybe I haven't done enough. I struggled. Someone had to come along and say, it's not based on that. God wants you to have this. You simply have to receive that which He wants to do for you. And thank God, after a few years, it clicked. It didn't click the first time I heard it. How does He work miracles among you? That's what He's asking the Galatian church. How do miracles work? It's through the hearing of faith. Hallelujah. Let's not throw out the hearing of faith. Because that's how God is going to work and do what is miraculous. Hallelujah. Let's believe. Let's preach. Let's go back to the simple Word of God, which is unchanging, with the Jesus who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We had a brother up in Massachusetts some years ago. He had diabetes. And he didn't come for prayer for diabetes. He came actually for his back. And I prayed for him. And he used to wrap his legs up with cloth at night because they were all scabbed over. In the morning. And at night he would take them off and climb into bed. They were all scabbed over and broken down because of the diabetes. He couldn't see. And strangely enough, when I preached at the Methodist church there, he didn't come up and ask for a prayer for diabetes. He just came and asked for his back. And I prayed for him in the name of Jesus and so forth. And about a year later, I came back and he says, you know, I feel so bad because I didn't tell you what happened. He said, one night as I got into bed and I was unwrapping my legs, he explained to me now what was going on with him. He said, I heard what sounded like BBs falling on the ground. But, you know, he couldn't see very well, so he climbed up into bed. When he woke up in the morning, he had all brand new skin. His eyesight came back so he could read his Bible again. Hallelujah. The power can flow through believing. Even the gifts of the Spirit work according to faith. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If you've got a gift, you have to believe so that it can operate more effectively. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Don't put it on a shelf. But stir it up. Hallelujah. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Because God needs to get His favor to people in the world. And you and I are the way to get them that favor. Amen. Through the Word of God, we can bring the power of God. And God will confirm His Word with the accompanying signs. That's what He did for the apostles. That's what He'll do for us. If people are not ready to be prayed for, don't pray for them yet. Help to position them so that they can receive. Amen. And God richly bless you. I want to again thank you for inviting us to come. I do believe that you're part of what we're doing. Hallelujah. We do covet your prayers. And I'm excited to see hear what God is doing in the church here. May God richly bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen.